all the time, isn't he? Let's take our seats. See all your lovely faces this morning. Wonderful to see Pastor Lynn Tobin with us today. David, her husband, is not able to be with us this morning. He's not well. So let's continue. Let's pray for David, won't we? Okay, let's do that. Pastor Lynn has been a friend of C3 Church for 30 years, for a long time. And Lynn, we just really thank you for what you do here in Australia. We thank you for what you do internationally. I know you make you do a great impact with women in India and the church in India also. And so we welcome you. Let's stand up, guys. Let's give her a big applause. Lynn has impacted a lot of lives. She has changed. She has changed and shaped lives. I'm talking about in the God sense, and nations that she's been to. Lynn, I think in heaven, I think the Lord's going to show you what the massive impact that you have done. I don't know that you really realize the impact that you have caused in the kingdom of Christ. Anyway, thank you.
Amen.
Good on you.
Amen. Praise God. While we're standing, just let's give him a hand. Amen. Let's just give him a hand. Let's just raise Jesus up in this place. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on. My husband did that more for Dockers yesterday. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. I heard more noise in our lounge room when Dockers won yesterday than then. Amen. Praise God. It's so wonderful to be here. Amen. Yeah. I love this house. I love the pastors. I love a lot of the leaders and the people in this place. And it's just so wonderful to be here this morning. You know, the thing that's really God's placed on my heart in the last month or so is about generosity. You know, I've suddenly realized that generosity is more than just the word generosity. Generosity actually produces growth in us. Do you know that? It does. It produces growth in us in all areas of our lives. I'm going to show you through the scriptures that. And also, I believe that being a generous person opens the doors to miracles. I'm going to show you how that this morning. And also it opens doors to reach people, to touch people, to make a difference in people's lives. Amen? I believe we need to be generous people in every area of our life. I'm not just talking about money this morning. I'm talking about in our time. Generous with our time. Generous with our love. Generous with our hospitality. Generous in every part of our lives. Amen? And I realize that it's generosity, God's generosity, that opens doors in so many places, in so many lives. Because, you know, the truth is, God is the owner of everything. Have you given your heart to the Lord? He owns you. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad he owns me. He is the owner of everything. He made the universe. Have you ever thought about that? What about all those jolly stars? What about the Milky Way? He actually created everything, did he not? He's the creator. And we worry about what we're going to do tomorrow. And he created everything. And in Psalm, I think it's 113 or something, somewhere there, it says that he actually stoops down. Now, you are talking about the creator of the whole earth. And he actually stoops down and picks us up and makes us princesses and princesses. Is that incredible? Also, that creator of everything, he said he's interested in everything you do. Everything. Every little thing you do, God says, I am interested in it. Not just when you're praying, not just when you're reading, but in every little thing, God is interested in you. You know, I think the most amazing scriptures in the whole Bible is this. It's found in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 14. I'm sure it's going to come up on the screen. Praise God. 29, 10 to 14. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." Is that what it says? "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours." Everything in heaven, everything on earth belongs to him. "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is might, is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." Need strength this morning? He wants to strengthen you. "Now, therefore, our God, we thank you." Do you really thank him from the bottom of your heart? "And we praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from where? Come from you. And of your own we have given you." Wow. "For all things come from you. And of our own, we have given you." Isn't that incredible? That is incredible. Everything comes from God. Is that what that verse is saying? And we are to administrate what is his. That comes from his hands. We are to administrate it. In other words, everything comes from God. Everything you have, you might have thought it was yours, but I've come to tell you this morning, it's God's. Sorry about that. And we are to administer that money from his hands. See, God is the head of all life and power, and man is appointed to manage money from his hands. Is that amazing? When you get hold of that. It belongs to him. We are just the management. Amen? Because remember, he is the one that is all majesty. Isn't that right? What does majesty mean? Glory, honor, beauty, excellence in form and appearance. His majesty says we can administer from his hands. Do you find that really amazing? I do. He's the boss. He's the owner. You're just the managing team. Okay, let's get in order. Proverbs 11:24 says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty." Doesn't make sense. The more you give, the more comes in. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about every direction of our life here this morning. And there's one who withholds, and it leads to poverty. In Proverbs 11:25, it says, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." See, the Bible's saying that people who are generous will be enriched, and when we water others, we will be watered in return. Isn't that incredible? See, God loves cheerful givers of his money. Let's get this right here. Of his money. And he wants us to come more like him every day in every part of his life, because he is the most generous God. Amen? He is generous. That's his character, generosity. He is so generous that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, so you could have eternal life and abundant life right now. I mean, that is generosity, isn't it? See, it's not just about money. He gave his son for us. That's how generous God is. And we are to be generous people. Amen? I don't say go and put your son on the cross this afternoon, but, you know, praise God. He loves cheerful givers because he is the most amazing giver that ever was. See, man seeks to get. Come on, isn't that true? We do. God seeks to give. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. See, God's way is giving. Man's way is getting. Would you agree with me, people? It's true. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. I'm sure you've got it up there. Matthew 6, 31 to 33 says this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what generosity is really all about is putting God's kingdom first. That's it. That is the first step. And when we do that, you will find that it will lead to miracles. See, verse 33 says the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Is that right? That is seeking him, putting him first in our lives. To seek God means to pursue, to crave, to go after with all your might. We are to seek him first. Amen? We're never going to live a generous life unless we seek him first. It's only when we seek him first, when he consumes our life, when he is everything, then we'll become the generous person that God wants us to be. Amen? Psalm 111 verse 5 says, he has given food to those who fear him. He'll be ever mindful of his covenant. So who does he give food to? Those who fear them. I tell you, he said that his children will never be wanting bread. Amen? And there's probably some here this morning thinking, well, you know what? Things are pretty tough for me right this moment. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know either, but I do know what the answer is. To seek first the kingdom of God is to praise him and to worship him. Amen? We can worry. I'm going to tell you, worry does nothing. Worry just gives everything a big shadow. I'm telling you right now. And I think the Bible said, you know, the Bible says that how will that even a cubit add that to you? Well, I tell you what, when I go through worry, I eat. So it does add cubits. So, you know, that is the truth. So what does worry do? It gives everything a big shadow. Am I right, people? But what does worship do? When you worship God, when you come into his presence, everything falls aside, doesn't it? All of a sudden you realize, hey, God, you're bigger than me. Hey, that's a good thought, isn't it? You're bigger than me. You're bigger than me. This is nothing for you. You said those that are righteous will never beg bread. So we need to, at those times when we're thinking, some here this morning, how's this all going to work? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to pay all this? How am I going to give more time? Seek you first, the kingdom of God. Amen? I believe that as we seek his face, that he strengthens us. I'm going to tell you, I'm not 21, but I go on many missions trips and I can outrun most of the 21-year-olds. Come on! I'm telling you I can. You know why? I got a secret. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Amen? No excuse for you older people. Come on. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Praise God. We need to be encouraged. God promises to provide for those who reverently and worshiply fear him. Not those ones that have got plenty. Not just because you give, but because you worship him. Those are the ones he gives to. Praise God. Psalm 35, verse 27. 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. who favor my righteousness cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. He has pleasure. He has pleasure. He has pleasure. Can you hear me? In the prosperity of his servant. And he's talking about every part of our life. See, God does not have a problem about us having abundance. He doesn't have a problem. His problem is what you do with it. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. He wants to pour his divine blessing onto our lives. Amen? But he does state the way to achieve them is not by getting, but by putting God first. It's out of our relationship with him. Our generosity has to come out of our relationship with him. Giving means giving. You got that? It's not earning. It's not loaning. It's not because I'm going to give, but I'm going to put conditions attached to it. We do that at times, don't we? We do with our kids. I'll give it to you, but you clean your room for the next 10 weeks, you know? Giving is completely relinquishing control of something into the control of another, releasing ownership. You know, I've heard people, they pay tithes, and they say, I don't know about paying tithes because, you know, I don't know what they're doing with the money. Well, you know what? The Bible says to give. To give. He didn't tell you to worry about it. It's not your worry about what people do with it. Your whole thing is to give. We have to relinquish. When I give my tithes, I don't think, I wonder what they're going to do with it. I say, God, take it quick, fast. Come on, you all think like that sometimes. Take it quick, fast. Praise God. I tell you, generosity produces growth in all areas of our lives. Stinginess diminishes that. You know, in Proverbs it says, the world of a generous person gets larger and larger, and the world of a stingy person gets smaller and smaller. And it's so true. It is so true. You know, the Holy Spirit is a generous giving person. Would you agree with me? So who's filled with the Holy Spirit here this morning? Only four? I tell you what, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a generous person. Amen? Praise God. Giving is an attitude before the action. It's all about the heart. See, our core belief system reflects our actions, not our wealth. It's not the amount. It's not about your time you're giving. It's not about the gifts. All those things are good. But it's got to come out of a relationship with God. And you'll automatically be faithful with your resources, faithful with your time, and faithful with your gifts that is entrusted to your care. See, in order to rule over much, we must be found to be faithful with little things. Isn't that right? And it's very interesting. I realize this indicates that one stewardship, I'm talking about time, everything, is a valid test of one's relationship with God. I'll say it again. This indicates that one's stewardship is a valid test of one's relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? See, giving is a joyful spirit. Joy comes when we walk and live out the truth of God's word. Amen? Our joy's got to come out of that, of our relationship with God, not our circumstances. You know life sucks at times. Come on. But it's not to come out of that. When you live like this, your faithfulness will encourage other people. Amen? I am a living testimony to the generosity of God. I'm telling you. It's truth. If we are generous, you never, ever find yourself begging bread. Amen? See, giving is God's way. And you know what? The whole thing comes down to obedience, doesn't it? Doing what God tells us to do. And when we do that, we'll automatically be givers. You know, God cares about the little things. Last year, I think it was the beginning of last year, You know, David had been quite sick on and off. And he really wanted to go to Vietnam. And I thought, it's not possible to go there for 2 weeks, but maybe if we go on a cruise. So I saved and saved and saved and saved and saved. And, you know, I sat at my desk this day and I said, you know what? If we go on this cruise, we can at least go to Vietnam for 1 day. At least David can say he's been to Vietnam, okay? So I sat there and I actually prayed. Because you know what happens when you push the button and you press to buy a ticket on a cruise? You've got no money left. Is that right? Your money's gone. And so I pressed the button. I had a few months to go. Well, you know, about a month before we were to go on the cruise, David got really, really sick. His kidneys were failing. I just, you know, we had got insurance, but I knew that we would be going to get the insurance back anyway. And my daughter is a insurance broker and all that kind of stuff. And she said, Mom, just leave it. You're not going to get it back anyway, so just let's hang on. So I did. And, you know, it got about 2 weeks out to us to go on the trip in August. And I suddenly got a phone call from the tour people. And they said, Mrs. Tobin, we have a problem. I thought, you got a problem. I'm not even going to get on the jolly thing. And they said, we've got a problem. I said, what is your problem? They said, we have booked too many people on the ship. So we need to put a couple off. I thought, I might just be able to help you. But then, this is the obedience part. She said, I said, what dates? They said, September the 15th. Well, I was actually speaking in a church of 10,000 people that on the 15th September. And I said, I can't possibly, aren't we amazing? I can't possibly do that date, but I'll do any other date for you, like January, February, March, April. She said, I'll get back to you. Well, they never got back to me. So on the Monday, I rang her and I said, you're going to get back with some new dates. And they said, oh, no, Mrs. Tobin. It was only for the 15th September and it's all booked now. It's all finished. We don't need to put anybody else off the ship. I thought, I haven't listened to you somehow. I really haven't listened to you somehow. I've actually put ministry before my family. I can see that right now. So I went into my room and I cried. I actually cried. And I said, God, I'm really sorry. I am really sorry. But if you can just turn this around one more time. And you know, you can believe it, can't you? Next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from them. And they said, we don't know how this has happened, Mrs. Tobin, but we still need to get another couple off the ship. I said, I'm going. I said, what date? She said, you'll have to go on September the 15th. Okay, God. Yes, I said, I'll accept it. And she said, because of what you've done for us, what have we done? And we will upgrade your cabin to the best on the ship. I said, thank you. And I haven't been on a cruise before. See, so and we will give you credits on the ship. So I put the phone down and being me, I thought, credits, credits, credits. Ooh, what do you do with credits? So I rang them back and I said, I'm sorry to worry you, but you mentioned credits. And they said, yes. I said, well, how much? How much credit? What do I do with it? You know what they said? We're going to give you $2,600 credits. I said, $2,600? I said, do I have to spend it on the ship? Yeah. I said, you got jewelry shops, perfume shops? They said, yes, we've got it all. And that's exactly, and by the 15th September, David was well enough to go and we had the best time of our lives. So you know, I wished I could stand up here and say, David has healed, he is getting better, really is. But the fact that David, God cared so much about a little holiday, I haven't had a holiday for years, isn't that incredible? And I tell you, on the ship, everybody thought we were rich. Because you have to buy, if you want a good coffee, you do have to buy that. And I just started buying everybody coffees. I was thinking, oh, how I was going to spend that $2,600. And I said, I'll pay. And off we went to this big cabin. I tell you, isn't God incredible? We made a friend a minute. Don't know if it was the money or me, but what happened? Praise God. But it just touched my heart. Our God cares. Our God cares about the little things. Amen? You know, in John, I actually won't look at these scriptures, but chapter 6, verses 5 to 9, you all know about the five loaves and the two fishes, don't you? We all know that story. But you know, if we pick up the stories, the disciples are worried. They're with Jesus and they're worried. Why do we worry when we've got Jesus? But we do, don't we? They were worried. We shouldn't worry. They were worried how they were going to feed these people. And you know what? Jesus knew. He asked them, what are you going to do? He knew what he was going to do, but he was just waiting to see what the disciples were going to do. So what happened? A young boy was there. Now, this story really gets me because I think a 10-year-old boy giving up his lunch is the biggest miracle I've ever known. Do I agree? Do you agree? I mean, that is a big miracle. A 10-year-old boy giving up his lunch. But you know, when he goes to lunch, I mean, the disciples just looked at it and thought, it's ridiculous. The boy's lunch seems ridiculous compared to the need. Why bother? Isn't that what we say to ourselves? I mean, I can't help. 5 minutes of my time, praying for someone, doing this, doing that, giving. Oh, God, what's the point? You're not going to miss my little bit, isn't he? He owns it, remember? He owns everything. And sometimes we don't do anything because we don't think we're worthy or we haven't got enough, whatever. But you know what? What we have and what we can do may seem very small in comparison to the size of the need. But. When we place into God's hands with the right attitude, with right heart, putting God first, it will become larger and larger and larger through his supernatural power. Amen? We have to understand it's his supernatural power. The seed is always very small in comparison to the need. So what happens? Jesus blesses the food. But this is where the problem came in. He blesses the food. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in your life. He knows. So he blesses the food, and here's the problem. He didn't give it straight to the people. He gave it to the disciples. Five loaves and two fish. And you're standing there as a disciple and you see all these thousands of people and you've got this little, I don't know which part you got, the tail, the head or whatever, the fin. Can you imagine it? What if you got the fin? And he's saying, stand there, now feed the multitude. Oh, I tell you, I'd be looking at everybody else, wouldn't you? Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So what happens? They take it. Can you imagine what they went through? And they're walking. I mean, I'm going to look stupid here. One fin. That's all. And sometimes we think, how are we going to pay the rent? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How am I going to spend the time to care about someone else? How am I going to spend the time to go and pray for someone else? I'm telling you, get hold of that jolly fin and keep walking. Because it's the truth. And as they walk, can you imagine? And then they hand it out and all these people got fed. Can you imagine the excitement? Can you imagine the joy? Because they were actually, what did they do? They were simply obedient. And you know what? God's simply asking us to be obedient with our time and our finances, everything else. That's what he's asking. And he will bless. So the boy gave. Jesus blessed and gave it to the disciples. And what do you have? A miracle. Thousands are fed and touched. See, giving, generosity unlocks doors to miracle when we do it God's way with the right heart and the right attitude. Amen. you know, the Saris ministry that Charlie was talking about. God placed that on my heart. I've been going to India for 28 years. 2007, God told me to give up my job. I was just starting to like being a pastor, and he said, you can leave now. I said, thank you very much. So off I went. No job, no nothing. But you know what? God, at that time, not when I was getting a wage, that time when I just give up my job, God places through different things. He placed on my heart to give saris to the widows. Saris. How on earth am I going to do that? But you know, through circumstance, I said, okay, God, why saris, God? And he said, because they mean honor. They mean value. I want you to show my Indian people I value them. I honor them. And you know, up the story now, it's been over 4 years. We've actually, the saris are $10. But you know, we get more expensive ones because we get buying power. But you know what? We have handed out 3,500 saris in 4.5 years. Not only have we handed out 3,500 saris, we have fed every person at least one meal when we hand out the saris. And we also support 100 widows a month to feed them. Amen? But how did that happen? It's obedience and generosity. Amen? I'm telling you, I tell you what I love about this church. This church is a generous church. This church is led by generous leaders. It's got many generous people in this church. There's a generous spirit over this church. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I just want to finish with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, I'm not quite sure, but I'm reading it in the message. Get hold of this, people. Now, friends, Paul said, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in the Macedonian province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. Our trials expose our true colors. They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggered something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there, Paul said, and saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out the relief of poor Christians. I'm going to tell you, if you take, you mightn't believe in missions, if you take missions out of the church, of the Bible, there's only the cover left. So this was totally spontaneous, entirely their own idea, and caught us completely off guard. What explains it was they had first given themselves unreserving to God and to us. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. Incredible heart of generosity. What a story. This generosity they showed had nothing to do with their circumstances. Nothing to do with what was in the bank. The Bible says that fierce troubles came down upon these people. And they were pushed to the very limit. Then it says that the trial exposed their true colors. What were their true colors, people? A generous spirit that had nothing to do with their circumstances. Trials did not cause them to become stingy and miserable and full of their financial woes. No, the word says they were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. They actually gave and pleaded for the privilege of helping out in the relief of others. They gave in the opposing spirit. I believe always giving in the opposing spirit with a generous spirit. Wealth wasn't the key. What was the key, people? They had first given themselves unreservingly to the Lord. See, circumstance should not control us, shouldn't make us pull back. We don't want a small world, do we, people? We want a large, very, very large worship. I believe that generosity is an incredible tool of warfare. I believe it opens doors. Amen? It opens doors, and I can speak much about that. See, every time we come with a heart of worship, every time we come with a heart of obedience, whether it's bringing offerings or tithes or meeting other people's needs or hospitality or just saying some nice words to people. Instead of the enemy robbing and stealing from us, we hinder the devil and we block his thieving ways in our lives and theirs. Amen. See, people get hold of the tithing 10%. But you know what? I'm going to talk about a moment about the 90%. We sort of give 10%. But you know what about the 90%? We need to be good stewards of the 90%. We need to look after the 90%. God looks after the 90%. Amen? We just can't give 10% and do what we like, live what we like with the 90%. He wants to be in charge of it all. And he makes that 90% go so far. Amen? You know, people say, well, I'm going to give to get. You know, when you give, you do get. But that's not the heart to give it in. To me, if you give to get, you're investing. God doesn't do investments. He doesn't do investments. You don't give to get. You give because of who he is. Because how much you love him. Because you seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? He's done the investing. He invested Jesus Christ. This is with our gifts, our time, and our life. We serve the most incredible God. I can stand here and say that generosity opens the doors to miracles. I see miracles and miracles. Last year, because of that widow ministry, I actually did a conference for 800 women that were child brides. I mean, it's another story in itself, but they are brutalized. 800 people. And I tell you, how did we reach those people? The saris, yes. I tell you how we reached them. I hugged, and so did the two ladies with me, 800 women personally. I hugged every one of them and kissed and loved every one of them. And you want to see the difference in their lives. Preaching did nothing compared to what that hug and love did. Come on, people, let us be generous people. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I asked them. Praise God. Yes, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. I asked if I could take up the tithes and offerings. You know why? Because it's no point just hearing a message. I want this to get in your heart this morning. So what I want you to do as you get out your tithes and offerings this morning, first of all, I want you to put your heart to God. I want you to put your heart before God this morning. Can you do that right now? Say, God, I want to put you first in my life. Oh, God, I trust you. I'm doing this not because it's expected of me, not because it's something I just have to do. But I want you to give it with such the right heart this morning. I want every one of us. Every one of us to be part of this. Every person is placed to be part of this morning. Because we want to give it out of the right heart. So just for a moment, you just pray about what you're giving right now. I know a lot of you give online and all that, but you know, it's still the heart condition. So just for the moment, just close your eyes. Say, God, help me to understand what you're saying. Help me to override my fear. Help me to override all those things. But God, help me to have the generous heart that you want me to have. God, help me. I want this word to become life because he promised his word will never come back void. I want to become life today because generosity opens the doors to so many things. So please take it up. As they're taking up the offering, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray that every one of us will be generous. Generous with your time, God, because everything belongs to you. We'll be generous with your finances. We'll be generous with your love. We'll be generous with your words. We'll be generous, Father, because we are just managers of what is yours anyway. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, we've got to. Just got to get hold of what generosity really is all about. And with that, if you're here this morning and you really haven't quite got hold of what I've been saying about this most generous God, but the generosity of God is that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you. And if you're here this morning and you haven't actually lifted up your hand and said, Jesus, I just want you to take off my whole life. I want you to take over my whole life, every part of my life. I want you to lift these sins from me, these worries and concerns. But Father, most of all, I want to be part of what you have for my life. I want to give 100% of my life to you this morning. As you've got your eyes closed, if that is you and you've just never said, oh, God, I don't understand everything, but I just want to this morning say, I trust you and I'm going to give everything to you, my whole life to you this morning. And you know what? He will lead you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, yes, I want you to be in control of my life. Yes, I want you to be my Savior. And I tell you, he does the rest. I'm just going to count to three. And on the count of three, I just want to ask you to raise your hands. One, two, three. If that is you this morning, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God, we just thank you. Just tell him you love him, amen? Just start telling the Lord how much you love him this morning. You going to do that right now? Come on, let's start telling him. Father, we love you. We adore you. Oh, we thank you, Father. Right from the bottom of your heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Thanks, Pastor Lynn. Pastor Nigel asked me to get up and speak after Lynn, just to take up an offering to bless her. Wasn't that a great message? That's right. We're really just, that clap is a praise to God for the message that's come through Lynn, I think. And I really like the bit where she says, worry just gives everything a big shadow and we should worship God instead. I just wanted to let you know, as Lynn has sort of said in passing, that she is actually, she doesn't get a wage or a normal job like most of us do. She lives by faith. And I think Pastor Nigel chose me to come and speak quickly about this is because I grew up in a missionary family, and I understand from my parents, and also I've done a bit myself, of what it is to live like that. Can you imagine not having that regular income? Basically, she's not paid by anyone except God, and that's through us giving in an offering like we're going to do today. So I have a scripture here. Those who are taught, this is Galatians 6, verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And Pastor Lynn's spoken about being generous today. We're going to do that on behalf of her today. The options for giving, you can give into the offering tins. You can also fill out an envelope and just mark it down to Pastor Lynn Tobin, or you can give after the service at the bookshop by card. They've got a FPOS facility there. So if you'd like to take that up now, and we'll just pray for Pastor Lynn as we do that. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Pastor Lynn coming to speak to us today, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll just be putting those things into her heart that she's spoken about generosity and being obedient to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you'll just bless her through this church, through this offering that we're giving, and bless her and her husband. Give them more than they need, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for their giving hearts, Lord Jesus. They're willing to give. And we just thank you, Lord, and praise you for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Praise God. If you would like me to pray for you this morning, I would love to pray for you. Praise God, but mostly in accordance with what I've been talking about. I do close the prayer line, so if you want, you're not allowed to sit there for an hour and wait for see what happens. If you want prayer, you need to come quickly out of your seat and we'll pray. Amen. I know that the church is going to release you. If you want to stay, that'll be great. But if you want prayer, just come quickly. Thank you.
This is welcome. Have a tea or coffee out in the cafe. If you want to stay, if you want to come up for prayer, you come. Expect God. Awesome.